I'd say today, my scripture reading is in Philippians, so turn to Philippians 2, and I'm going to start at verse 1. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for each one that's here. We ask your blessings on the service and everything that's done. Let it be understood and helped by these as you would have. And in Yeshua's name we ask, and amen. And my text is the verse 2, so let's look at it again. Make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. When you read that text, particularly the text, but the whole of the scripture reading, do you see how it fell in, as it were, unity and one accord with our Torah study this morning? Not done as a beforethought, but just as the Holy Spirit works out our worship to God. When you read those words, and particularly the text, it seems like what would come to your mind is the word unity. Unity. Being of the same mind. Being as one. Being in harmony. And the title of my message to you this morning is Harmony and Unity. When I think of the word harmony, there's many definitions that we could use of it, but I think of being in harmony with each other as being in agreement. Seeing everything, or the subject, or the beliefs, seeing them as one. Unity. Harmony. Seeing these things in agreement. What comes to your mind when you think of being or a group of people or a church being in one accord? What comes first to your mind as you think of this? It seemed like it would be what you read in the book of Acts, would it not? When the Holy Spirit fell in such a great and unusual manner, fulfilling the prophecies before, particularly of Joel. In Acts 1 and 14, we find that they prayed with great faith. And when you read this book of Acts, you see how unity is such of a thing. Acts 1:14. These all, with one mind, were continually devoting themselves to prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Do you see the unity there? Do you see the agreement of all being in one mind, in one accord? And how is that important in the churches today? How is that important in our congregation and our church? It's ever important. It's also important that we be in harmony and that we be in unity. And in Acts 1 and 8, let's look at how power entered into this, and an unusual power, a power that only comes from God through His giving of the Holy Spirit and it being received so that God can work more powerfully in our lives. Acts 1 and 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest parts of the earth. Isn't that wonderful scripture? And let's look at Acts 4 and 33 also. Acts 4 and 33. And with great power, the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and abundant grace was upon them all. Power from God on high. From the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Yahweh the Father and Yeshua the Son. Supernatural power. They also, as a matter of this great power being sent to them from the Father as Yeshua went back up to be with his Father Yahweh. We read in Acts 2:41, let's look at that, of the great fellowship that they enjoyed with each other. Acts 2:41. So then those who had received his word were baptized. And that day there were added about 3,000 souls. And we're going on through 46. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. Do you see that as being in harmony and in unity of one accord? And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them all as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart. Those people were in agreement. They were with each other, seemingly at this particular period of time, almost hour by hour, each day and every day of the week, at least for a period of time. This is what the implications are. They experience great growth within that first, what we will call, Christian church. Let's look at Acts 2 and 47, the very next verse. praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. That is wonderful. The growth of the first Christian church by the followers of Yeshua, not only the apostles, but the ones that God was adding to them day by day. Paul challenges the Philippian church to be of one accord, of one mind, one accord, one intent, one focus, one purpose. If there is any consolation in Christ, if there is any comfort of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if you have any affection and mercy, we are talking about true harmony in the church. And I would want each one of you to think, as you think of these primary words of unity and harmony, I would like for you to think about what is your ideas on how a church could have greater unity and greater harmony, because it is so important. Important to us personally, important to us as part of the members of God's family. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Let's look at that verse 3 in Philippians 2. Again. Philippians 2 and verse 3. Philippians 2 and verse 3. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourself. See how that one verse fits in with our Torah study this morning? Perfectly, I would say, as only the Holy Spirit can bring together. Ending strife gives every church a new life. And strife, as a word, keeps bad company. In 1 Corinthians 3 and 3, it's joined with envy, divisions, and carnality. None of them are good words. The implications is negative. And this word strife is named with the works of the flesh in Galatians 5, 19 through 21. And let's look at James 3 and starting with the 14th verse. James 3 and 14. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthy, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. Do you see how being in discord with each other, being in disunity, being in disharmony, what it does? I would say one word that we've heard many times within the last years or so is that it destroys from within. Destroys. And that those verses there lets us know that it comes from Satan. And we need to realize that service is to glorify God. If it is to glorify the servant, it is worthless. All work in the church should glorify God. Nothing selfish, nothing self-centered, nothing that only reaps good to yourself, but that which you can do to help others. In Colossians 3:23 is a good verse for that. Let each esteem others better than themselves, is what the verse 3 of Philippians 2 lets us know. And this is a different dimension to self-esteem. There is always a great push within society for self-esteem. Paul calls for a higher esteem for others, even at the sacrifice to yourself, and even perhaps your best interest in certain kind of occasions, to do something for others, to give, and to not only give, but to give without any hope of something coming back to you in return. Esteem for others grows out of that word love. Love is the outgoing concern for others, and your outgoing actions in regard to responding to others and helping others. Love enables us to forget the faults of others. And you, when you build on a fault, what should you expect? An earthquake. Disaster. Building on a faulty foundation. The same thing. When the floods come, the house is going to fall. Build on a stable foundation. Build on the rock. Build on the only begotten Son of the Father in heaven, Yeshua. Love enables us to look for the best in others, not looking for the little splinter in their eyes, which you would probably always be able to find, and yet disregarding the log that is in our own eyes. What in our life? Should we be concentrating on getting out of our life? Like getting that log out of our eye. This esteem for others causes us to care for the needs of others that we find in verse 4. Let's look at that. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interest of others. Our concern for them should be greater than for ourselves. We should want to protect them and what is dear to them. And like our Torah study said this morning, you try to do things to protect them from harm, if possible, on or off of your property. You try to look out for their animals. If their animals get loose, you help bring them back into the fences. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And verse 5 there, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. Use Yeshua as your example, as we are so often preached to. He is our ultimate example. And whatever He did, we need to try to do. Whatever He didn't do, we need to try not to do that. What was His reactions when things happened during the time of His life on this earth? We need to focus on that and make changes in our life that we would react as He would react. Do service. Be a servant. Yeshua said He didn't come to this world to be served by others. He came to serve, to try to be of help wherever and however that He could. And here is the key to heeding Paul's call. How to put away strife and vainglory. Whatever you can do and however you can react against strife when it happens around you. Be the peacekeeper. Be the one trying to instill harmony in others. And in essence, letting them see the love of God flowing through you to them. That's what God would want you to do anytime that strife or vainglory happens around you. Esteem others better than ourselves. Care more for the things of others than we care for our own. Did you know that the mind of Christ, and we are to have a change in our attitude, and as far as I'm concerned, that means minds, how our minds think and react, they need to be changed. Our whole self needs to go through the rebirth process, and our minds is part of that. The mind of Christ conquers self. The mind of Christ will lead you to be less selfish, self-centered, self-seeking, to where you can focus on being a better person, having the mind of Yeshua, being of help to others. Having Christ's mind makes us humble instead of hateful. It makes us giving instead of greedy. And it makes us selfless instead of selfish. We learn about the mind of Christ when we think about the cross. When Yeshua fulfilled the purpose of His Father and the plan of His Father, how much of selflessness can a person be? He was willing to do what the Father's plan called for. He was willing to suffer all kind of pain and stripes, whippings, scourging for us. He was willing to pay the price. He didn't deserve it. He didn't do anything. He wasn't guilty. But that was God's plan, that He shed His blood so that the penalty for our sins and the penalty for death could be paid. And we could look forward to that hope of eternal life in the kingdom of heaven with Yeshua and Yahweh forever and ever and ever as a member of the family of God. Yeshua laid aside his glory. And that makes me think of the verse that lets us know that before the world was, Yeshua was with the Father. Yeshua was with Yahweh before creation, before the world was. But he laid aside the glory of being the only begotten Son of Yahweh. He laid aside that glory, that being divine. He laid it all aside and subjected himself to the cross, shedding his blood to complete God's plan. And how can we seek glory when we see that Yeshua laid aside his glory to become subject to Yahweh's plan? And yet we would want glory? I think all glory and vain seeking and doing should be set aside, put away. He humbled himself. So how can we be proud? He became a servant. So how can we covet high positions wherever they are? How can we be thinking so highly of what we want for ourselves when we see what Jesus Christ did for each of us? He was obedient to death. And how can we do less? When we think about harmony and unity, and we think about God wanting us to be a servant, to be of service to each other and to others, to try to help draw them to the God of all the heavens, the only true God, Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, leading to the Messiah. Did you know that even as we submit to being humble, that God calls for this? One day, our humility and our humble actions, God will turn to His children being exalted, raised up. God will exalt His family. A humble, caring church will be a united church, a church with unity, a church with harmony, and a united church will then be effective in its ministry, and it will be successful. It will be in harmony and in unity with Yahweh's plan for His family, for the ones that's going to be part of His kingdom, with Him ultimately forever and ever. I'd like to ask you if you would stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for each one that's here. We thank You for this message, Lord, concerning harmony and unity. And Heavenly Father, we ask You for more and more harmony and unity. We ask You, Lord, to work your will in our hearts and lives. Give us more of love. Give us more of that concern for each other and for the ones that you want to bring into your family. And Heavenly Father, help us to be that kind of servant that you can use that will draw others to you. Thank you so much for this message. Let it work your will in the hearts of each one that is hearing this message this morning, however they're hearing it and wherever it is being heard. Work your will, Lord, in each life. And in Yeshua's name we ask, and amen. Let's read a blessing together. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance on you and give you peace.